Sup, fools? This is the QTR Podcast. Today is September 10th, 2018. Hello. Here I am. I got a lot of emails over the last week. When are you going to do another podcast? Hey, listen, I'm only going to talk when I have something to talk about. I'm not going to just come on here and yammer on. Otherwise, you can go listen to any other major media financial network. Oh, well, industrials led the charge today. The Dow was up 23 points. You can watch I love in the morning, too. You can watch the anchors just wet their pants over what the futures are doing. Oh, the futures are up 50 points, Bill. It's going to be it looks like it's going to be another great day on Wall Street. Or if the futures are red, conversely, you know, the futures finally recovering a little bit. They were down 70, now they're down 50. Who knows? Are we going to have a red day? I mean, that would be a travesty. Oh, I can't watch it. You're talking about like a 1 basis point move in the morning. In these news networks, they talk about the futures moving 50 points on the Dow, which is at fucking 25,000 now. Like they're talking about the end of the world. It's insane. And you just look, it's actually hilarious. You can watch the morning news networks, the financial news networks. You watch them talk about the futures at like 8 in the morning, and it casts a whole mood over the show. If the futures are up 50 points, everybody's upbeat. Hey, everybody's jovial. And if the futures are down, everybody's got this stupid look of concern on their face. Like there's some kind of problem that they're going to be able to figure out this morning. Well, so trade data came in a little bit less than expected. And plus we had lower than expected earnings from Dick's Sporting Goods. It's like, Jesus, just shut the fuck up. Let them futures go up or down 50 points on the Dow. Nobody cares. Meanwhile, same news networks out there just blowing the cryptocurrencies when Bitcoin's at 20,000. Now doing Bitcoin and crisis specials. I can't take it, folks. I can't. Hey, by the way, here's a couple of disclaimers before I start screaming at the top of my lungs. Number one is I'm not a financial professional. Furthest thing from it, folks. All right? Furthest thing. I want to be crystal clear about this. Furthest thing from it. Serving beer for a living 7 years ago. Was pretty good at that. Finance, don't listen to anything I say. You're going to want to find yourself a registered investment advisor, probably somebody named Prescott. You're going to want to go find them, and that's probably better off who you want to take your financial advice from. Let them put all your money into Vanguard ETFs and then collect a huge fee, because that's what you do once you go and get a license and get registered and all the things that I have not done. I am not registered. I hold no licenses. I barely even have a driver's license, folks. Completely unrelated to finance, but just thought I would throw it out there. I rode my motorcycle with only a permit for 6 years when I was in my 20s. I didn't even have a motorcycle license. Financial licenses are way off. Wait, they're off my spectrum. They're not even on the spectrum. I mean, if it hasn't happened now at age 35, it's not going to happen. I'm not sitting in a room with a bunch of fucking 20-year-old kids studying for the Series 63, trying to figure out what kind of trust is going to be the best for your particular family to tuck their $9 trillion into. Well, this trust is going to help you avoid, this will help you defer taxes for 3 years, as opposed to another trust, which you'll pay the taxes now. It's a Roth IRA. It's a little bit different from a 401k. Look, folks, I buy weekly options, okay? That's the type of investing I'm doing. It falls under the degenerate category. You don't want to listen to me for anything, all right? That's my number one disclaimer. Read my disclaimer on my website. Read my disclaimer in the podcast description. And just read disclaimers in general. And listen to me. I'm disclaiming right now that you need to do your research elsewhere. That's number one. Number two, this podcast is brought to you by my Patreons. Patreon is a service that allows you to make a recurring monthly donation to the QTR podcast if you want to support me and my lunacy and general mayhem. Actually, this is quite cathartic for me. Feels like a therapy session coming in here and shrieking at a microphone a couple times a week. So thank you for that.
Some of my recent Patreons include people like Philip Yelzin, Carl Nixon, the fine folks over at Stock Sharks, Steenberger, the one and only Billy Shear, my man Kubiko, Eckhart Richter, Juan Uribe, Kevin Cronin, Scott Preston, Dave Osten, who does the WS something wonk podcast, whatever. The guy's on my Twitter. Fucking follow him. I'll shout him out on Twitter. And then I also want to shout out guys like Chris Bede coming through in a big way. Andrea McCarthy, what's up? I see you on Twitter too, chatting with me. Mark Rulio, Patrick Osgood, Mauricio Putz has been down forever. A lot of great people in my Patreon list, which is growing, and I really appreciate it. Not going to forget some old school people like Joseph Beebe and Brendan Basler at Baz Trading. How about Beverly Marsh, Ryan McKnight, MD, motherfuckers. All right, that's enough Patreon stuff for right now. Let me just ask this one question, okay? Why do I need to read an article like this today? This is on Zero Hedge, and the article is called Fed Should Buy Stocks in the Next Recession. And that is a quote from the former IMF chief economist. Folks, let me just explain one thing right off the bat, all right? If you label yourself as an economist and your solution is for central banks to buy stocks, you're not an economist. Anybody can just say that. Economists need to figure out actual financial problems and come up with actual financial solutions. Before I even bitch about it, let me just read this article to you real quick. Just going to read a part of it. I just want you guys to get context of what this says. It says, our economy's journey to becoming Japan will take one giant step forward if former IMF chief economist Olivier Blanchard has his way. His outside-the-box solution for our next recession? The Fed should buy stocks, finance the federal deficit, and buy goods. He detailed this thought-provoking idea at the Boston Fed's monetary policy conference that took place this weekend. Folks, that's not a monetary policy. That's just rigging the whole system. This thinking comes as a result of, quote, a general sense that the Fed has to rethink its approach to combating recessions, according to a new MarketWatch article. Why must it rethink its approach? Because the Fed itself has eliminated most of its tools used to fight recessions by keeping the United States in a lower interest rate environment for too long instead of raising rates as the market roared. Now we have a stock market at all-time highs and record levels of debt yet again, but this time the Federal Reserve has far fewer options to combat the next recession than it ever has in the past, and with a neutral rate of interest that is lower than it has ever been in the past. Fascinatingly enough, economists are now only starting to realize that this lack of firepower could be a detriment to the Federal Reserve in the future. Blanchard stated over the weekend that the Fed could probably handle a small recession, but a more major recession like the one we experienced in 2008 should prompt the Fed to resort to, quote, previously unheard of policies. Ladies and gentlemen, the former chief economist at the IMF. Fucking give him a hand. What kind of a genius had to sit down and just take days and hours and weeks to think of this incredible strategy for just cementing the foundation of the United States economy? Well, we'll just buy stocks. We'll just have the central bank buy stocks. Folks, this is insane. This is insane. And I feel like nobody notices and nobody cares. Nobody cares. It's that simple. Apparently, this is the article continues, apparently convinced that two wrongs do make a right, the Boston Fed president Eric Rosengren stated that he would be a strong advocate of QE the way that we know it best, asset purchases and rate cuts. He's talking about instead of buying stocks. Such a cavalier attitude about this type of damaging monetary policy belies the larger problem of the Fed's balance sheet, which stands at over $4 trillion, with no signs of lightening up in any material way. But Blanchard doesn't seem to think that this $4 trillion balance sheet is even a problem. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an actual quote. Please, if you are holding a drink, and you should be if you're listening to this podcast to begin with, put it down for a second and just brace yourself. Here's a quote from the former chief economist of the IMF. He's talking about the Fed's balance sheet, the $4 trillion balance sheet. He says, if we need it, we could clearly double it and nothing terrible would happen, Blanchard reportedly said. He concludes that he is not sure why people believe the Fed should only buy assets, but not goods. We have this notion that it is only okay for the central bank to buy assets and not goods. But that's a restriction we imposed on ourselves, Blanchard is quoted as saying. That is fucking insane. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. This is an economist just telling you, just cheat. The Fed's just gonna buy everything. This is the result, okay, ladies and gentlemen, of decades and decades and decades and decades of students going through Ivy League universities and coming out of them with economics degrees and master's degrees and PhDs and terminology and models and Laffer curves and Phillips curves and names and fucking graphs and charts and TI-82 calculators and protractors and rulers and all the various school supplies that have been used over the last 40 years for all of these students who have been cranked out of all of these universities with economics degrees and finance degrees and learned gap accounting. This is the result. This is what we get. This is the best we can do. The former chief economist at the IMF comes up with the mind-blowing and incredible discovery of the Fed should just buy stocks. That would be like astronomers who are working to figure out the far reaches of the universe just saying, well, we've decided there's a lot of planets. How many? Well, we don't know. There's a lot of solar systems, a lot of galaxies, a lot of stars. We know there's a lot. We're just going to stop looking. We've pretty much got the entire astrophysics realm down cold. And that's pretty much what this guy is saying here. As an economist, he's like, I got the fucking cheat code to the global economy. He's trying to go in with a little up, down, left, right, BA, BA start on the global economy. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Because you don't have an economy. When the central banks come in and they start buying stocks, what happens? You don't have an economy. I mean, we already don't have a market. Everybody is already fine with the notion of the Dow going from 100 to 25,000 without ever going down for any sustained period of time. That already makes a lot of sense to everybody. I don't know why, but it does. Everybody seems to be just okay with the system that we're in. Fine. No problem. Ranted on that already. But now we're going to take it one step further. It's not bad enough that we are already drinking the Keynesian Kool-Aid and we don't really have a market to begin with. We don't really have an economy to begin with. We have a bunch of variables that we're manipulating to try and get outcomes that we like. And when the actual market tries to make a statement and we have a recession or we have a bubble burst or we have a correction or we have the market push things the way that we don't like them to be pushed, we come in and manipulate more variables to get things where we want. That's not a market. That's just tweaking shit to come up with what you want to come up with. That in no way is a market. Nothing about that is a market. But that's not good enough now. Now, this guy wants the Fed to come in and buy stocks. Now, what's going to be the threshold for that? What stocks should we buy? What stocks should we not buy? How much should stocks go down before we start buying stocks? How does this make sense? Pretty soon, the Fed is going to have the entire United States stock market on its balance sheet. And then what? Then what do we do? Then we don't have anything. This is like if the weatherman tells you, today we're going to have humidity approaching 100%. And you walk outside and you're like, 100%? Well, what happens then? Well, then all of the air turns to water and we all drown. Humidity has hit 100% and there's nothing else that we can do. There's no more air to breathe. Obviously, I'm not a fucking meteorologist, but you get the analogy. We're going to have the entire stock market and the entire bond market on the Fed's balance sheet. That's going to be a lot of fun, isn't it? The Fed's going to own 100% of Riot blockchain. Congratulations, guys. Thank you very much. Great work, everybody at the Fed. Save the economy. Then what? Then we don't have an economy. Then the Fed has a $20 trillion balance sheet and everybody's just walking around looking for something to do. What happened? Well, we used to get up and go to work. We used to buy a coffee in the morning, then we would go to our jobs. But now there's no coffee and there's no jobs. So now we all just kind of stand around and we wait for the Fed to tell us what to do. And we wait for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to hand us our government-mandated job, where I will be going and digging a ditch and the guy behind me will be filling it in. We do that for 8 hours a day. Then we come home, we check to see what the stock market has done for the day. Of course, it's done zero because everything has been owned by the Fed, so the market just doesn't move at all. And we get day after day after day of CNBC going on the air. Oh, the futures are unchanged today. The stock market was unchanged today. Until that becomes a storyline. Well, the stock market is up 0% and it's down 0% for the year 2027. Fed Chair Jacob Wohl has decided to run the printing press today and print a fresh new slate of $10 trillion bills, which we will be using to inject into the stock market. As you can see here, the stock market has gone up for the last 10 years. Well, nobody has jobs, and everybody is starving, of course, but the stock market is at 50,000. It's really fantastic. And let's just address this one thing, too. How are you an economist if this is your solution? Really, I don't get it. I mean, I'm sitting here doing nothing, and literally, I feel like more of an economist than this person. Because being an economist should entail coming up with solutions that aren't inserting the entire economy into its fucking game genie and then putting in the code to beat the game. That's not how the economy should work. There's no code. There's no free market code. The free market code is you let the free market be free. That's why it's called a free market and not Super Mario 3 or Contra. Now I'm screaming into the microphone, which means I'm going to get a whole bunch of new comments on this podcast. Or get yourself a restrictor plate for your microphone. Don't you know anything about condenser mics? You're sitting too close. You're sitting too far away. You're screaming. You're not talking loud enough. Jesus, just let me go, okay? It's obvious I have very little acumen when it comes to how to actually do a podcast and produce something where my voice is going to sound fine all the time. I don't know how to do it, okay? I'm trying my best. You should see when I do these things. I come in, I sit as close to the microphone as I think that I can sit without making the little thing that's red go beep, 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 you know, that says I'm clipping, that says that I'm being too loud, but I don't want to sit so far away that you can't, so just let me go, okay? It's like the lady at Wawa today. I just went to get a coffee before I got here today. This happened about an hour ago. I'm feeling good. I got something I want to scream about. I'm going to appease all the people that have been asking for a podcast. I'm not going to feel like a piece of shit that's just taking money from my Patreons for doing nothing. I'm eager to come do a podcast, so I want to stop and get a coffee. I walk into Wawa. I'm minding my own business. I'm pouring my coffee. Woman comes up next to me and is pouring her coffee. Looks at me. Looks down at my feet. Sees I'm wearing flip-flops. Makes the following comment to me. Flip-flops? Just like that. Flip-flops? I said, yeah, I'm wearing flip-flops. Very good. She said, you know it's raining outside, right? I'm like, are you kidding me? Of course I know it's raining outside. This is one of those situations where I start looking around for hidden cameras because I can't believe it's actually happening. Don't you know it's raining outside? Yeah! What do you think, I shot myself here in some type of pneumatic tube? Like when you go to the bank and you got to send your money to the teller from the car and you're three lanes away, so you shoot it through that vacuum. You do know it's raining outside, right? I'm like, yeah. I got two eyes, a nose, ears, a mouth. I know it's raining. I know what day it is. I know what time it is. I even know my own name. I'm doing very good. Well, I just don't know how you could go outside with flip-flops like that. Your feet get all wet. I'm like, can I just get my coffee? What is going on inside of a person's head when they feel the need to say something like this to a complete stranger? I mean, this is why I'm a libertarian. Just leave me alone. Let me get my coffee. I got shit I gotta do. I'm out there being productive. I'm contributing to GDP. Just let me go. She must be thinking, well, everything's going so great in my life. I've got everything figured out, okay? Family, friends, finances. Obviously, I'm at the pinnacle of my life. So now what I need to do is I need to start walking around and suggesting things to other people in an unsolicited fashion. Like this guy right here. Okay, he should be wearing socks and shoes, so I'm going to let him know. Is that what you're thinking when you suggest something like that? It has to be, right? You have your life so figured out, and everything is so perfect and flawless that you need to go and now start directing other people what they should and should not be doing. I got news for you, lady, all right? Maybe I'm on some type of next level where I specifically wear flip-flops when it's raining because actually it's less cleanup, and I'll explain it to you if you're listening. But my guess is that you aren't. You're probably next door at Walgreens trying to comment on the color choice of somebody's car or the type of baseball hat somebody's wearing. But let me just explain it to you real quick, all right? There's less cleanup with flip-flops in the rain. Less. That's right. I said it. You know why? You avoid soggy socks. It's that simple, all right? You take leather shoes out and you get them wet and you get your socks wet and it's a huge disaster. You gotta fucking take the socks off and the socks are dripping and then they gotta go immediately into the wash because they're soaking wet and your shoes are fucked up for like 3 days to come. You go to put them on the next morning, you get that when you walk. Flip-flops, it's easy. It's utilitarian, folks. Okay, you walk in, the flip-flops are rubber, you take them off, you find your feet, you can hose them both down if they're muddy, just hose your feet right down, hose the flip-flops down, and you dry them off and that's it. Boom! 30 seconds, taken care of. This lady wants to see me in penny loafers walking around the Wawa in the store. Well, this will protect my feet from the rain. You're gonna get wet. You have to just embrace it. I should have just started pointing out things that I didn't agree with. Oh, what's that shirt you got on there? Is that a denim shirt with Disney's Tigger embroidered on it? Wow, that's a stylish look for you. And what are those, Betty Boop license plate covers? Oh, that's very sexy. That's very sassy for a woman in her mid-60s or whatever you are. Just do everybody a favor. Get your coffee, get your third apple fritter of the day, get in line, get in your car, and go do whatever you're doing, all right? I don't care what it is. I really don't. And I guarantee you my podcast listeners don't do either. But the last thing I want to hear, and the last thing my podcast listeners want to hear, and the last thing that everybody wants to hear is your advice on footwear. It's that simple. I wouldn't take advice on footwear from the fucking CEO of Nike. I'm sure is not going to take it from you in the middle of a Wawa when all I'm trying to do is get home and point out the fact that the Federal Reserve has lost its mind. What does it say to you that buying stocks is some type of solution for these people? We have gotten so far off the concept of an actual economy and an actual market. It is astonishing. It's astonishing. Yet to these people, this makes perfect sense. And when economists come out with stuff like this, you get an entire industry that follows suit. And I'm not just talking about other people that are on TV. I'm talking about all of the analysts and all of the registered investment advisors and all of the Series 7 holders and all of your local banking professionals and all of these people in like half-assed financial jobs and people in the mainstream media. Everybody thinks this is okay because the economists say that this is a solution. They think this is a solution. These are the smartest people we have on the job. And this is the best idea they can come up with. I have an idea. How about we have an actual economy? Now, I don't want to speak out of school because I know I don't have a PhD and I'm not sitting here with a Series 63 sitting there all pompous like that guy in Boiler Room. I have a Series 7 license. I got news for you. Just because you came up with the right answers on a test that is based on a system that is based on a theory that is being implemented only as a result of trying to maintain political and economic homeostasis, okay? That's the whole reason we have the system we have, is because people are scared shitless of recessions, and they're scared shitless of austerity, and politicians are scared shitless of not being reelected. And so this is the system we have. Does that make it right? No, it doesn't make it right. But if you go take a Series 7 or a 63 or whatever any of these other tests are, your answers are going to have to correspond to the thoughts and incredible revelations of this type of thinking, which is the Fed should just buy stocks. This is what happens when you leave the government in charge, folks. A couple months ago, I made more than 6 transfers from my savings account to my checking account in a 30-day period. Ooh. You know what I got? I got a letter. The federal government requires that you don't make 6 transfers from your savings account to your checking account. That's a rule that the government put in place. Some guy at some think tank somewhere came up with this idea. Don't let people transfer money from their savings to their checking more than 6 times in a month. Yeah, well, I realize there's extenuating circumstances. I realize that expenses come up. I realize that the money is there in savings in case you need it. But let's just protect everybody from themselves and make it so that you can't make this transfer 6 times within a 30-day period. Because we're economists and we're the government and these are the rules that we come up with. Fed wants to go in and buy 100% of the outstanding shares of Tesla? Go ahead. Enjoy yourself. Person that's been saving money their whole life wants to redo their kitchen and make more than 6 transfers out of their savings account to pay for various appliances that they'd like to purchase for their home renovation, they can go fuck themselves. Thank you very much. You can take that dishwasher and forget about it, Aunt Betty, because you're moving money that the government said you couldn't move. You know what? Just fucking give me my cash, or better yet, I'm just going to hold gold. You wonder why people take gold and they lock it in a safe? Because I can't make more than 6 transfers from savings to checking in a bank account that is, both bank accounts are run by the same bank, and I'm not allowed to do that. If you continue to do this, Mr. Irons, you'll be placed into an interest-free account. Good! I'm already in an interest-free account. What am I getting interest? 9 basis points? Wow, that's making a material impact on my life. Take the interest. I don't want the interest.
Well, Mr. Irons, we're going to have to transfer you from our preferred savings account to just a regular junior savings account.
I don't care. I don't give a fuck. You take too much in fees anyways. You're charging me on a monthly basis just for me to keep my money with you. It's not going to be too long before I take all $12 out and I buy 1/1,000th of a gold bar and I lock that in a safe somewhere and then I just stand next to it with a gun all day. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to protect that $12 like my life depends on it. Meanwhile, Zero Hedge posts another article today. The title of this one is Retail Investors Can Now Sell Credit Default Swaps Using an ETF. That's great. That's exactly what retail investors need. They need to sell credit default swaps. Well, let's see. Does the average retail investor know what credit default swaps are? Absolutely not. Does the average retail investor know what credit is? Probably not also. Does the average investor know what an ETF is? Probably not. So what do? Let's mash them all into one and we'll serve it up to Main Street. But whoa, not so fast, Aunt Betty. Make sure you don't transact shares of that ETF more than 3 times in a round trip over the course of 5 days with less than $25,000 in your account, because you will then be labeled as a pattern day trader.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's right, folks. The pattern day trader threshold. Another real piece of government genius for you. This is a rule if you don't know about it, okay? You're not allowed to buy and sell the same stock. I think the rule, I can't remember it. It's you can't buy and sell, you can't round trip a stock, meaning buying and selling it, over the course of a day, or I think it's within 3 days. The point is you can't day trade if you have under $25,000. You can't do it. So if your hopes are putting together $10,000 and then trying to day trade it to $50,000, you're going to be locked out of your account for 90 days. That's the government protecting you. You can't access money in your savings account. You can't make more than 3 day trades over the course of a 5-day period unless you have more than $25,000, which you don't. I mean, let's be honest here, folks. You can't do anything with the money you have. You can't even have access to it. You definitely can't trade it. We have to protect you from yourself. But by the way, we now have an ETF that allows you to sell credit default swaps, and we encourage you to buy it, alongside of all the investors that are buying the 3X levered ETFs and are unaware of the attrition that they carry, buying 3X levered ETFs at $40 a share and just watching them go to zero and then wondering where their money went. Folks, the financial industry is doomed, okay? When you can't make more than 6 transfers out of your savings account, but somebody's trying to push onto retail investors a credit default swap ETF, something is horribly wrong. Something is horribly wrong. And the best part about this credit default swap ETF is soon, according to the former chief economist at the IMF, the Federal Reserve is going to own 100% of the outstanding shares. Hey, congratulations, guys. Congratulations, you did it. Economy 101, economics 101. All the colored pencils, the protractors, the rulers, the crayons, the poster board, the presentations, the book reports, the science experiments, everything you did throughout your schooling, from primary school all the way to your PhD, this is where we are right now. We got a government that is okay with people issuing an ETF that is going to give retail investors exposure to something that they have no clue how it works. And then if it starts to go down, the government itself is going to come in and buy 100% of the whole thing. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you our economic system. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the best we can do. Isn't that awful? I just find that absolutely horrifying. With that being said, I hope you guys have a great rest of the day. Hey, thanks a lot for listening. And again, my podcast today was brought to you by my Patreons, guys like Aiden Archer and Michael Kantowski. That's it. Only 2 times here at the end of the podcast, because everybody's got shit to do, me included. Peace.